Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And good morning. Welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Still got a lot of ground, or at least water, to cover. A lot of fishing reports will be passing along and other little tidbits of information. Asking you this morning to participate with the show with our text message board. Text us at 870-870. Tell us the most hazardous boating spot that you can identify that you've ever been to. And also, what is the one dish that the French Quarter Fest we should not pass up when we go there later this afternoon? 870-870. Martha, who's texting us?
So this is already making my mouth water, but the Haydell Bakery booth in Jackson Square, the white chocolate king cake bread pudding with rum sauce. This person was too full to get it by the time they found it, but would love to hear how it is. And if you've been to Haydell's Bakery, it's probably going to be a pretty dang good.
All right, that's at the French Quarter Fest, and I will put that on my list. Also have someone wishing good luck to everyone fishing in Bollinger's Bass Tournament out of Lockport today. Good luck to all you participants.
Well, lots of votes here for the Blind River and the Diversion Canal, especially in the summer, the Diversion Canal traffic for one of the most hazardous spots. This other person wants more details on this Redfish Tournament. We don't have the press release on that, but it is occurring today, Johnny.
So. That's at the dock.
Yep. All right, here, another one. This is one that I think actually kind of gets forgotten about because we're always thinking about fishing areas, but the Blind River, Amy, Tickfaw River areas are always very dangerous in the summer, and this is so true. Bunch of people drinking, partying, running around in big speed boats, blasting music and not paying attention. So, yes, that is a pretty busy area. You got to stay on alert there.
Yeah, I bet you that's a fisherman sent us that one. All right, here's one. My daddy used to call undersized reds good signs, kind of like Tofield was saying. So every time we hook a small red, it's a good sign. Have a great time at the French Quarter Fest. Love the show. Thanks for that text.
Another hazardous spot, which is definitely true, is the east side of the South Pass jetties. You know, I've seen a lot of folks still running South Pass, and that's kind of encouraging. I haven't seen anybody say that they have seen anything less than about 6 foot of depth.
Mm-hmm.
I have not personally run down it, but I did see a picture of the Cougar, the Delta Blue Charters, that big boat from Venice, a picture of them in South Pass. So I guess it's still passable, but stay away from the east side. It gets really shallow over there.
Yeah, and thank all of you for doing this. This is we'll bring these up again. We talked to our Coast Guard friend that's going to be with us in a couple of weeks in honor of National Safe Boating Weekend. All right, here's one says, must be slow for the outdoor show because the forecast is bad. I'm spending this weekend looking for shoes for Captain Eric. Worst place on the water is Plumbing Honeydews.
Eric
Mahabarak, the guy we're going to be talking to in a little while. He doesn't wear shoes, you know, and he's a kayaker, and it really does make sense. Because with your toes and your bare feet, you do have better control over those pedals y'all use on your kayak.
And you don't get those crazy tan lines from your sandal straps.
You know, I was really impressed with those Hobie pedals. That's the first time I've ever been in a pedal kayak. And I never realized that the steering was that precise. I mean,
yeah.
You can really precisely, you know, guide your direction with those things.
JT from Bogalusa is heading to Missouri, going on a turkey hunt, and he says congratulations to Don on bagging one already.
Well, I'm planning, like you, leaving the state. I'm headed to Kansas next week, and hopefully I'll bag a couple more up there. Those will be the Rios. And
did you shoot down here?
That was an Eastern. That's all we have here in Louisiana is the Eastern wild turkey, and it was probably a 2.5, 9.5-inch beard. Had one spur. The other one was broke off, so he must have been a fighter.
The best thing on the radio while you're waiting on the interstate to open back. Uh-oh, where's the interstate not open? At the Texas line, uh-oh.
Uh-oh, that's
Jeff from Pensacola. Oh, the trucker life. I feel you. Well, thank you for the compliment. We hope we can keep you awake as you're stuck in traffic.
We are glad to keep you company. Look at here, Martha. Big hello from my friend Chris Riley and Darby over there Fairhope, Alabama. Hope we're staying dry and enjoying the morning. We are, and Chris, we really enjoyed the trip with you. Just got to get over there and do some more stuff with you.
Someone said, this one made me laugh. The launch in Delacroix when the trout bite is on. It's like a scene from Jaws. And I think he's talking about when all the people run out of the water and it's just mad chaos on the beach. I think that's what he's referring to.
Well, in the dark opening day of duck season in some of those little launches like Reggio, that's can be exciting too. Here's a recommendation that we get the crawfish pasta by Love at First Bite Catering Company. The spice is just right. Oh, boy, we're going to eat well out there today.
Brisket and horseradish sauce from Two Jacks.
Great.
Yes, please.
Here's a dangerous spot. Seabrook, 50 miles an hour? Come on.
Nobody should run in 50 miles an hour anywhere around there.
No.
And all of Beaticoe
Creek. Leave earlier.
Yeah.
What? All of the Beaticoe Creek is hazardous. I don't know about that. There's some parts of it that
One I want to add is Paso Lucha heading into Northeast Pass. It's a really narrow entrance, and it gets real shallow, and in the fog, it can be extremely dangerous.
Hey, you got some news. I don't know if you want to break this about that. What's happening down at the Port Eads Marina.
Yeah, I'll throw it out there. I don't have details on this yet, but a good friend of mine, Walter Heathcock, who we know from Bayou Wild, several shoots, he was in the Nutria episode. He's a Venice native, and him and some friends, some business partners, have decided to keep the marina open, and we're talking about Port Eads down in South Pass. Unfortunately, when they decided they were going to stop dredging South Pass, the folks at Port Eads said that they were going to shut down because they thought the traffic wouldn't be coming through anymore. And that's just a gem down there on South Pass. It's a marina. They have lodging. They cook food. You can stop and get fuel there. And my friend Walter and his friend just now got passage from the parish that they are actually able to purchase Port Eads, and they plan to keep it open. So they're going to, you know, if you're a boater and you want to come get a great bite to eat before you hit the main marinas, there's your chance.
Got lodging there too.
They have lodging. I don't know the dates. I won't. I don't know much about it yet, but there's some encouraging news if you still like to run South Pass.
Well, maybe we can do a show there with them.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the, you know, bay boats can still run South Pass. Mm-hmm. They can get down there. They're just worried about it for bigger vessels.
Well, best of luck to those new investors, because that's something that's very, very needed down there. All right, coming back after this, we got Mike Gallo coming up. Have Boat Will Travel. Find out where he's been headed and if he's going to get out with this windy conditions today. And that may help you make a decision, too. It's what we do here, fishing reports and a lot of fun on Saturday mornings on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And keeping us up to date on the fishing in the Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne, Mr. Go, Bayou Bienvenue, Biloxi Marsh area, just about any way you can get in one day in a boat, is Captain Mike Gallo of Angling Adventures of Louisiana. His reports are brought to you by Seato. You know them. They're the yellow boats that offer those fuel drops whenever and wherever you need it, just when you need it. They'll tow you in 24/7, jumpstart you, but what you're really paying, $179 for a whole year, is peace of mind, knowing that that rescue is just one call away. I always suggest you become a member. Call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or they'll sign you up online, seato.com. Captain Mike, what's your prognosis, given the windy conditions that are predicted and are actually taking place this morning? What's it like over at Salt Bayou?
Well, it's pretty windy over that way. Fortunately, my group came in Thursday, and they're staying till Sunday. So we may get a chance to fish tomorrow, but today looks like we're just going to be in a holding pattern.
So how was the week for you?
I had a pretty good week. We had a couple of redfish trips that were successful over to the Biloxi Marsh. One was shrimp under a cork, had some youngsters. That worked out pretty well. And yesterday was all artificials, spoons and plastic worms, fish close to the grass, and that was equally as successful. So the red fishing's been good over in the marsh. Midweek, I did have a trip with the calm winds in Lake Pontchartrain, fishing live shrimp on a drop shot or a slip cork, and we caught a bunch of speckled trout. I had a group of seven out of Baton Rouge, and they were just shy of 100 speckled trout with seven people.
Pretty solid.
It did. It worked out very well. Nice trout. Nice, you know, those thick, fat Lake Pontchartrain trout. Had some clean water along the North Shore. It was very close to Salt Bayou. I didn't burn 2 gallons of fuel.
Mike, when customers come out there, do you encourage them to try new things? So say they may have only ever fished with a popping cork and live shrimp. Do you give them the option, or do you just say, hey, this might work better today? How's that go? Because a lot of folks are intimidated by fishing with artificials.
Well, obviously, there's a bit of coaching that goes on. You know, if the artificial is outproducing the cork or vice versa, you know, you have some people that do not want to fish a cork. And, you know, you can just try to coach them. I always tell the captains that work for me, you know, you give advice, you pass it along, and he doesn't want to do it, then you do it. And maybe when he sees a couple of fish caught with the cork, it'll get him to change his mind.
Lead by example, not by force.
You know, just show them, hey, look, this is what they want today. Believe me, I understand the thrill of artificial, but I always use Glenn Sanchez's line that he said many years ago. You know what those fish are eating when you're not throwing plastic at them? They're eating live bait.
Yep. Glenn, he's got some really classic sayings, no doubt about it. Well, Mike, what advice would you have for somebody who is headed out this morning with these windy conditions? Tuck in, fish the tight spots, you know, that type of thing?
Well, I could tell you, we went in some of the deeper canals of Lakeshore and fished a sliding cork. And that worked very well for us. Our boat was the last one to leave out of the three. And they literally stopped at the end of my canal, fished those rocks. The other two boats were there. And I just didn't want to gang up in there with them. I knew what they were fishing, you know, 8 to 10 feet of water. And I didn't know if they were catching anything. It was, you know, still very, very early in the morning when we started out. So I ventured over into Lakeshore and found some bait along the shoreline with my depth finder, bait balls, and anchored up around that way and through the sliding cork. Well, we started catching them, so there was no need for me to move. And that worked fine. So those canals, Lakeshore, Gohegan's, any of those deep water areas, Eden Isles, where you can get out of the wind, get tucked in, they produced for us. Our second stop was lots of puppy drum, and there was a few keepers mixed in with them. So they're still fishing in those deep water areas, and those will be protected. And I'm sure that water's clean over there as well. So anybody that would be going today, that would be an area that you could get into and have a productive trip.
Mike, for people planning their summer vacations, including fishing trips, maybe an overnight stay, and they want to come check you out, tell them how to do it.
Very simple. You can find me on DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is AAofLA.com or the telephone, which is 985-781-7811.
Or look for him on the water. Tell him what kind of boat you're running.
I'm in a Skeeter boat.
Whoa, jump teams.
I did. I joined Team Skeeter after a long courtship.
Well, we'll be looking forward to getting in that Skeeter
Blue
with
Wave
our buddy
Dutch. Blue
Wave
just couldn't put a ring on it.
Yeah, we got the trip coming up with Dutch pretty soon.
Yeah, we'll be out there in 2 weeks with you.
Yeah,
that's right. Looking forward to that. There's plenty of good redfish in the marsh. I hope we get some good weather and get Dutch back out there. He enjoys it.
All right. We'll see you next week, Mike. Take care, buddy.
All righty. I'll be listening.
All right. Coming back next, what should we call him? Captain Quint? Shoeless Eric?
What is it?
Quint? I like Quint, too.
He cut his hair and cut his mustache, and he doesn't look like Quint
anymore.
No, he
doesn't. But when he does, he could be a stand-in for Robert Shaw. All right. Coming back after this, the one, the only, Captain Eric Mahabarak with our Peddler's Report right after this.
The Paddler/Peddler Report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club is presented by Massey's Outfitters in New Orleans, Covington, Baton Rouge, offering the best kayak fishing models from Hobie, Jackson, and Native Watercraft. Check them out at masseysoutfitters.com. We went out with Captain Eric. You probably saw him in a previous episode about a week ago of Bayou Wild where we went catfishing. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, what else have you been up to, Eric? I know you had several trips this week.
Oh, yeah, I had a few. Fishing out of Port Salford behind high school there. Caught, you know, a couple of limits of redfish with the clients. I've been doing pretty well, mostly on the gold spoons. You know, I can't get away from that. What else? They're catching a few fish down in Delacro over there in Little Lake, popping corks with DOA shrimp. And other than that, I had a pretty interesting thing. I was going to keep it quiet, but I thought I'd let everybody know that at any time, anything can happen to you. After all the years of me kayaking, I finally ended up out of the kayak.
I wish I had a video camera that day.
What? Now, was it a roll or just a slip-in? Describe how this took place.
All right. I had my fish bag up on the front deck, which I didn't strap down the back two latches on it. And I just had the front latch because, you know me, I'd never flip over. Don't have to worry about it anyway. I I leaned over to scoop the lady's fish. It was her first redfish. And I had four redfish in the fish bag already. And I had leaned over, and, you know, she's new to kayaking also. She's been in them before. She's just new. And the redfish, you know, how they fight. Well, I was leaning over to net it, and I kind of leaned a little bit, and I was in the 16, which is the different hull than the 19. And I had been fishing out of the 19, and I put the lady in the 19 because she wanted to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Ear models. So I leaned over, and when I leaned, I felt it roll. And then I seen the ice chest start to slide. And when it hit a certain point, it seemed like I kind of sat there for a minute. I had a decision to make.
And save I tried the to fish lean or it save back you.
And it didn't work. What's that?
Save the fish or save you.
Well, I took the water, scooped the fish all at the same time, and jumped right back in the boat. The lady said, I've never seen anything like that. You almost didn't even get wet.
How deep was it?
I hit my raccoon feet.
How deep was the water where you were?
I was about 4 feet. You know, I did hit bottom with the raccoon feet, and it kind of just sprung me right up off the bottom.
So you were in the 2016 Hobie Outback hull? So that
I was in the 16 hull, yeah.
That one's got a little deeper hull than the 19.
19. It's a little bit skinnier too.
Yeah.
I think by 4 inches or something like that. But it was quick. It was over with. You know, enough to ruin your phone. And you know, I didn't lose anything at all. So
just a phone.
That's a big plus. You know?
Was there an extra charge for the show?
No extra charge for that. Everybody had a good laugh there.
Did you tell them? Did they believe you when you told them that was the first time?
Yeah. I mean, these clients had been with me before.
And you had four people out that day, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
They all got their limits. That's a more of a feat in a kayak, really, than it is, you know, from a boat. I mean, you're sitting down for the most part. A lot of people, they don't understand the maneuvering and the coordination you need to be able to do that. So, congrats.
Right. Now, one couple has been with me before. The other couple, it was their first time kayaking for redfish. The lady has kayaked. The man did. The husband never kayaked before. Great folks. I had an excellent time, enjoyed the Louisiana thing. They did Drago's and the restaurants and everything. They had a wonderful time down here.
That's great. Eric, if somebody wants to go out there and catch the show of you making a dive and roll off of a kayak, how do they get a hold of you to do that?
Well, they call up Quint. on your website, Don Dubuque Outdoors, my phone number is the easiest, 504-313-8292. Or just hit me up on Facebook or Instagram, the Louisiana Kayak Company.
And you can take up to how many people out? Because I know you only take ones and twos, but you can accommodate up to how many people?
I like to take up to six. If I need more, I do. Usually what I do is I'll split up when I get four people, and then I go above four people. I'll get someone to come out and help me, one of my Hobie team members or something like that. I'll get to come out and help me, you know, experienced person who's been around the water a long time. So,
well, thank you again for taking care of my boat when I was working in Venice. I didn't want it to get yanked at my camp, so it's in good hands.
Yeah,
I still got to get
up the, you kind of up the creek right now without that paddle, huh?
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, I heard you made a paddle out of that deal, Eric.
Stole my paddle.
Yeah, I got a paddle out of it. It's pretty good.
There you go. All right, my friend. Paddle Palooza. Give us a date on that.
Yeah, that's going to be May 4th, and that's a slam tournament. You know, speckled trout, redfish, and flounder. It's the largest tournament that the club has, and it's a pretty good time. It's down at Bridgeside Marina on May 4th. You can get the details off of Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club.
All right, get you a life proof or a good watertight case for your phone now.
Yeah, that's the next. Well, I'm learning how to work it this morning. I'm digging on the internet to find out.
You know how to do GoFundMe accounts, Martha. Let's get one started for him. For two things, a good case for his phone and shoes.
The Lafayette Yacker said he's out buying you a pair of shoes today.
He's shopping for you.
Oh, Lord.
He saw your foot in one of our shows and said he needs to put some shoes on.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a good, great, great day and enjoy the French Quarter Fest.
All right, we'll do it. Thank you, Eric. All right, coming back after this. We got to get started early because I got a long, long list of bad boys. They were out there doing what I was doing, but they weren't doing it quite
the
legal.
Right way.
We'll tell you about some bad boys of the outdoors after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
And we got another good text. We're talking about the most hazardous places to be boating. So This person says, now pair with me because these texts come in out of order, so I have to kind of piece them together. Chef Pass heading towards Irish Bayou has the rocks that are supposed to slow down the loss of marsh. These rocks stick up 2 to 3 feet above the water on normal tides, but when the tide is high and the rocks displaced, a few PVC pipes along the rocks, but no signs of it. It's very dangerous to people who do not know the area, and I'm afraid someone will be hurt or killed running through these rocks. If they could place better warning signs and prevent a tragic accident. That's from Nick in Irish Bayou. Yeah, you're right. Anything that's submerged becomes very dangerous, and when folks are unfamiliar and they run too fast, that's when things really become hazardous. So beware of the rocks at an Irish Bayou.
All right, and beware of the game wardens for you turkey hunters out there. As I predicted last week, we had 18 cases of illegal turkey hunting. Back to tell you about them right after we pause 10 seconds to let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, the turkey season got underway in Louisiana last weekend, and I had a great hunt. My buddy Jerry Cross and I up in Tangipahoa Parish each bagged a bird. And then we stopped for breakfast at a Waffle House, sitting next to two Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents, and they began to tell us about some of the cases they had made. And as always happens, like clockwork, as long as I've been doing this show, you can count on somebody out there hunting turkeys over bait. We had 18 cases of illegal turkey hunting on opening weekend in Louisiana, and if convicted, facing maximum fines of $500 for each offense and 90 days in jail for hunting turkeys over bait, hunting with an unplugged gun, and taking over the limit of turkeys. They face $350 for each and 60 days in jail for failing to comply with turkey tagging regulations. Don't forget, you got to tag it. Not only tag it, but call that tag in within 72 hours. Some not having basic big game or turkey licenses. No excuse for that. $50 each offense and 15 days in the jail in the Pokie are... For alleged hunting turkey over bait, Henry Robin or Robin Jr., 55 of Homer, Billy J. Bass, 72 of Jonesville, Harry Herman, 65 of Harrisonburg, Cecil D. Gorman, 54, and Thomas J. Freeman, 44 of West Monroe, Jerry J. Poche, 70 of Ama, Michael Bucola of Ponchatoula, John Keyes, 72 of St. Joseph, Charles J. Fairchild Jr., 68 of Gonzales, Dwight D. Busby, 61 of Lake Charles, Richard Hurst, 54 of Clinton, Garland Meredith, 69 of Eros. For failing to comply with the turkey tagging regulations, 24-year-old Jacob White of Minden, and for taking over the limit of turkey and failing to comply with turkey regulations is 19-year-old Carson Randall of Minden, and for hunting turkey over a baited area and hunting with an unplugged gun was Ryan Lamont, 34, of Slaughter. Finally, for alleged turkey hunting violations over bait, contributing to the delinquency of a juvenile, judge ain't gonna like that, and failing to comply with turkey tagging regulations in Bossier Parish, is 33-year-old Whitney Green of Benton. All of these guys have earned today's title of Bad Boy of the Outdoors. Well, it was spread out all over the state. Nobody had the market cornered on illegal turkey hunting.
We were talking the other day about having to be really careful because sometimes you're following a bird and you can't find it or you're looking for it and you come upon a baited area. As tempting as it may be to stay there, you got to get away from it because you don't want to get false accusations. And they can't really prove whether it's yours or anybody else's, so... By association.
Well, I had a chat with those agents, and I asked them, I said, now, were these cases marginal where maybe somebody heard a gobble, they were hunting maybe for the first time, or went to the gobble, didn't realize there was a feeder, a deer feeder with some old corn? He says, no.
They were egregious.
They were out there ahead of time. Most of these come in on tips. People are hunting in this area. They go find the corn. They take the pictures, and they're waiting on them when they come out there. And they end up on this show is what happens to our bad boys. Never a shortage of them. All right, coming back after this, we have a pinch-hitting guest for Ryan Lambert. The plastic man's off searching the world again. You know, he's
in Greece now, isn't he?
He's out of Greece, but he's off to some other place
now. Other continent.
Yeah, he said he'd be on a plane while we were on. So, Captain Todd Seether's going to join us. We'll be back with his report on Plaquemines Parish after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And Martha, while Brian Lambert is traveling the world, his guys back at the lodge, Cajun Fishing Adventures down there in Burris, are hard at work. Captain Todd Seether is one of them. Let's talk to him and get some fishing information and advice for people headed down that way. Captain Todd, what went on this week and what's going on this weekend?
What kind of mayhem's going on with that
mayhem,
Ryan down
yeah,
there?
Always got mayhem down there.
It's always a mayhem. It's just a lot of redfish mayhem.
Well, how's the fishing been? Has it been consistent? Ryan's always saying it's the best in the area.
Well, red fishing has been off the charts. When the wind allows us to get them outside, seems all the fish are pushing onto the outside edges away from the ponds and bays, doing what they're supposed to do. And trout fishing on the west is cranking up, but we've been having a south wind all week. Terry and I did really good last weekend. We each had over 50, 60 trout. Nice fish, but we've been having a south wind all week, so we've been crossing the river every day.
And what area were you catching those trout in? You know, we understand there's a lot of fresh water been coming around and also through the Mardi Gras cut. So where did you locate them? There must have been some clean water somewhere you found them.
On the west side, right out of Joshua.
Oh, on the west side. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, we had to burn a whole lot of gas, you know, like about a half a gallon.
Yeah, that little pocket when you come out of there and you head to the right, you know, I've caught a lot of fish in there before. You know, a lot of people run right past it and go in search of other places, but sometimes there's no need to do that.
Yeah, the Greenlee Oil Project, and they're doing that project in Red Pass. It's blocking up a lot of the dirtier water from coming up on the south wind, so it's been nice.
Well, we know Ryan is the self-professed plastic man. So, what do you tend to go to when you're out there? Because he's not here right now.
I like seeing Rod Tip's boat over. We put bait on it.
Yeah.
Where is a good place in Plaquemines to get bait? Do you fish with just dead shrimp, or do you use live at all?
Mainly dead shrimp. Right now, live shrimp's helping a little bit, but mainly dead shrimp, and get it at Frelick's or down in Venice they have it. But we kind of stay to ourselves. More than the other guys do, but I buy mine throughout the year when the season's open and just dehead them and bam.
All right, now I know you said you were fishing on the west side, but do you know what kind of condition those launches are on the east side? You know, with the water being up so high in the river, are they accessible? Either the one at Fort Jackson or the one that's close behind the lodge there.
Fort Jackson and the one close to the lodge, you have to have a big truck. I have a 6-inch lift on my truck, and it's about 2 inches from getting in the doors.
Oh wow!
What do your customers say when you launch them into the lodge?
The first impression is, I thought we had to launch the boat, not the truck.
So where have some of your customers been from this week?
First.
I know you get them from. I've met people at that lodge from all over the country. Where have you had guests from this week?
Been a lot of Texas this week, and the four guys I had yesterday, and they're waiting for me to jump in the boat right now so we can roll out today. Yesterday we struggled. It took us, I think, till about 8:30.
Oh, that's such a struggle.
And tell me, those Texas customers, a lot of people say the one thing they love to do is to jump out the boat because they like to surf fish and wade fish over there in Texas. They don't understand that we live in gumbo over here, do they?
The biggest question I've had this whole week is, or the statements that, we wade fish. We would walk this whole shoreline, this whole bank, or whatever. I'm like, nah, this boat's not on fire. There's no gator in it, so I'm not getting on it.
Yeah, if the quicksand didn't get you, the oysters would cut you to ribbons.
That's right. And then they're catching stingrays to boot.
Yeah, you don't want to catch those in the foot either. You finish at 8:30. What do you tell your customers to do for the rest of the day? If you're done and they're there for 4 days, what do they do? Sit by
wore out some bull reds, and then luckily we ran out of beer yesterday, so we came in and right before noon.
That's usually the end all to a lot of trips, as I've seen. They never bring enough.
We got an emergency. We got to go get more beer.
So what's been on the menu down there at the Cajun Fishing Adventures? You know, you guys got gourmet kings down there. There's a bonus to being a guide working for Ryan Lambert.
You know, customers get to enjoy that. You know, Ryan, he says, yeah, come over and eat. We go, the guides show up, and we don't eat it all. We don't have anything to eat. We end up at the Velvet or something.
Oh, yeah, right.
I just went to the Velvet for the first time a few weeks ago, and I've been there 3 times since. It's real good.
That is a 5-star restaurant, I got to tell you, and it's one of the best-kept secrets in Louisiana.
For sure.
Yep. Well, Todd, if anybody needs to get a hold of y'all, you know, just call, check out the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge down there, or they can give a call. When is Ryan due back in town?
And where is he?
Yeah, I asked him, and he wouldn't tell me.
He's in Greece.
That's right.
Oh, he's still in Greece. Okay.
Yeah, it was a 17 or 18-day trip.
Oh, goodness. Wow. Yes. He's going to come back another skin tone. It'll be deep red this time.
That's what I told him yesterday. I said, well, at least you're having a good time. He was talking about living people live like they're on, like they're goats, you know, living on the mountain edges or whatever.
Kind of rocky.
A good time. He said, well, I'm acting like I'm having a good time. I'd rather be doing work down there.
Yeah, you know that. Well, Todd, thanks so much for the report. Enjoyed talking with you. Have a great weekend and hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
Todd C. there, captain, one of the captains, one of the many fine captains that Ryan Lambert employs down there at Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, coming back after this, Martha is going to preview the Bayou Wild TV show that you can watch this week. It's episode number 56, I believe, called Claws and Shutters. And then we're also going to tell you about some more text messages that came through, too. We'll be back to do that right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Martha, I got a couple of questions related to turkey hunting and firearms.
You're the guy to ask.
Yeah, well, someone says, please define an unplugged gun. They heard our bad boys, and a couple of them did not have plugs in the gun. There's a plug. It's a plastic device that's put into the magazine tube to shorten the length of the tube so that you can only put a maximum of 3 shells in there. If you remove the plug, then you can put 2 more, 3 in some cases, depending on the firearm. And it is a law that you can not use any more than 3 shells in your gun. I guess it's an ethical sporting thing. And if you do not have a plug in your gun, the agent will take a stick and he puts it up there. They've got a little measuring device, and if it goes in that far, he may use the shells. And if he sees you got 3 in there and he puts another one and it goes in, you just earned a ticket. So that's what it's called, a plug. Most guns hold 5 with the plug removed, 3 with the plug in. The other question is, what is my favorite turkey load for 12-gauge? I'm glad you brought that up because I had some requests for doing turkey calling demonstrations, and I'm going to have a rep come on possibly next week to do some of that. But my favorite turkey load and gun, I shoot a Mossberg pump, 12-gauge, 3.5-inch chamber. And it has a special ultra-tight turkey choke on it. I can kill turkeys at 50 yards comfortably, and I've done it with this gun. I buy the best you can buy, and I'm not independently wealthy. Let's face it, I work in the media, okay? But I spend as much as I can because you only shoot generally 1 shell, if that, at a hunt. So I get a 3.5-inch Federal Premium, which carries 2.5 ounces of number 6 copper-plated BBs. It doesn't get any better than that. It's a great load, and as long as you're just shooting a few like that, one box, they usually come 5 or 10 to the box, and that'll last you for years. So anyway, that's my choice. All right, Bayou Wild TV. Boy, I really enjoy not only watching but producing that falconry piece. That just fascinates me.
Appreciation for the term bird's eye view.
You're right.
We did a story about falconry, which is the ancient art of hunting with a bird of prey to actually secure your hunt. And we went out with a red-tailed hawk named Delilah, but people use all kinds of animals. Hawks,
kestrels, goshawks,
all kinds of
Harris
birds.
Hawks.
And what you learn is it's a very, it's almost like, you know, with sushi making, they have apprenticeships, and it's a very long journey to become a sushi chef. Well, it's similar to becoming a falconer, and there's different levels of falconers, and you get to kind of learn the process. They need to have an apprenticeship and get their own bird, and you learn about what actually motivates the bird to hunt, and it's very scientific, actually, and it's cool to see. And even in the show, you'll see a bird's eye view, literally with a camera on a bird. They're animals. They're impressive. But that's the first segment. The second segment in the episode is about the bald eagle, which we have quite a few of down here, and folks over Where were the that was in
Morgan City?
Morgan City, yeah, Morganza Spillway. Mm-hmm. There's a resident bald eagle there, and the residents of Morganza and the Spillway area have actually gone to great lengths to keep that bird there because the tree that it once lived in went down, and they wanted to make sure the bird stayed, so they built it an artificial tree. basically an area for him to nest, and you get to learn about photography and people, bird watchers' appreciation. And then we go back to White Oak and get a great oyster recipe from Chef John Foles. So it's a different kind of episode, a little more nature-inclined. So if you're not so into the hunting and fishing part, you might appreciate this one just for the outdoor aspects.
Easiest way to watch it is on YouTube. You can watch it where you want, wherever you want on your device. But what about regular airtime?
On CST, we air today at 9 o'clock. Today's Saturday. Yeah, 9 o'clock this morning on CST. And tomorrow we'll be on at 8 a.m. on CST and 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Thursdays and Sundays are our regular airings of new episodes. But there's a couple bonus episodes this morning, a little later, and then 8 a.m. tomorrow. And then we'll have a new episode coming up next Thursday. And Don, you got one more bird question that just came in on the text board.
Gun question. It says a maximum of three, including the one in the chamber magazine, can only hold a maximum of two with the plug-in. That's what I meant. I don't know if that's what it sounded like, but yeah, it's a total of three shells. One's in the chamber, two in the magazine. If you got the plug out, you put one in the magazine. You can actually put four in the magazine tube with one in the chamber. All right, coming up immediately following this, if you're going to stay with us, you need to go to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, or if you are an owner of an HD radio and you're within range, check us out on 105.3 FM HD2. We have more outdoors. Martha and I have a lot more to talk about, including making those fishing lures that with our names on them over at Cajun Lures. That was a lot of fun. Also, the speckled trout issue. When Keith Lusher and Wendy Billiott, we do a once-a-month show called Hunt Fish Talk. It's a roundtable discussion of some of our Outdoor Writer Association members. Direct you again to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Check out the monthly poll. And I've got about six or seven options there that the state of Louisiana and also Alabama may be looking at in order to improve the spawning potential ratio, which means we may have a problem with the speckled trout population. If it is proven through the data that's acquired by our biologists, we may have to choose some more stringent regulations to bring those numbers back. And we'd like to get your input on it. So please tune us in. If not, we'll be back here again next week from 5 to 7 with the network show. Thanks to all the affiliates. And by the way, if you're going to be around between noon and 3.
Free festival.
French Quarter Festival, the free one. Come by and see us. We're going to be doing a broadcast there. And taking your recommendations. Thanks to all of those of you who texted in this morning, as always. And we'll see you back here again next week with another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.